The betrayal of spring has brought us here. They gave their surges to human heirs, but not to those who know the most dear before us. 'Tis no surprise we turned away. Unto the gods we spent our days, and to become their molding clay, they changed us.
From the Listener Song of Secrets, 40th stanza.
The information will cost you 12 bronze. Ruby, you see, a Czechish one.
Tin tossed her head back, jet black hair falling free around her shoulders. She sat in the driver's seat of the wagon, where Bluth used to sit.
Oh, you call that a bad accent? I've only heard them 3 or 4 times. You sounded like you had rocks in your mouth. That's how they sound.
Nah, like this. Oh, I looked over the paintings that you gave me, and they're right nice. Right nice indeed. Ain't never had a cloth for my backside that was so pleasant.
You're exaggerating that.
A tad.
I don't see why knowing a Bav accent would be useful. They're not a very important people.
Kid, that's why they're important.
They're important because they're unimportant. All right. I know I'm bad at logic sometimes, but something about that statement seems off.
Tin smiled. She was so relaxed, so free. Not at all what Shallan had expected after their first encounter. But then the woman had been playing a part, leader of the guard. This woman Shallan was talking to now, this seemed real.
Look, if you're gonna fool people, you'll need to learn how to act beneath them as well as above them. You're getting the whole important light eyes thing down. I assume you've had some good examples?
You could say that.
Thing is, in a lot of situations, being an important light eyes is useless.
Being unimportant is important. Being important is useless. Got it.
You know, kid, you get kind of mouthy when you let your mask down.
Shallan blushed.
I like it. I prefer people who can laugh at life.
I can guess what you're trying to teach me. You're saying that a person with a Bav accent, someone who looks lowly and simple, can go places a light eyes never could.
And can hear or do things a light eyes never could. Accent is important. Elocute with distinction, and often it won't matter how little money you have. Wipe your nose on your arm and speak like a Bav, and sometimes people won't even glance to see if you're wearing a sword.
But my eyes are light blue. I'll never pass for lowly, no matter what my voice sounds like.
Tin fished in her trouser pocket. She had slung her coat over another peg, and so wore only the pale tan trousers, tight with high boots, and a buttoned shirt. Almost a worker's shirt, though of nicer material.
Here.
Tin tossed something to her. Shallan barely caught it. She blushed at her clumsiness, then held it up toward the sun. A small vial with some dark liquid inside.
Eye drops. They'll darken your eyes for a few hours.
Really?
Not hard to find, if you have the right connections. Useful stuff.
Is there...
The reverse? Something to turn a dark eyes into a light eyes? Not that I know of. Unless you believe the stories about shard blades.
Makes sense. You can darken glass by painting it, but I don't think you can lighten it without melting down the whole thing.
Anyway, you'll need a good backwater accent or two. Herdazian, Bavlander, something like that.
I probably have a rural Vaden accent.
That won't work out here. Yakved is a cultured country, and your internal accents are too similar to one another for outsiders to recognize.
You've been to a lot of places, haven't you?
I go wherever the winds take me. It's a good life, so long as you're not attached to stuff.
Stuff? But you're... pardon, you're a thief. That's all about getting more stuff.
I take what I can get, but that just proves how transient stuff is. You'll take some things, but then you'll lose them. Just like this job I pulled down south. My team never returned from their mission. I'm half convinced they ran off without seeing me paid. It happens. No need to get worked up.
What kind of job was it?
It was a big job. Important for the kinds of people who make things change in the world. I still haven't heard back from the ones who hired us. Maybe my men didn't run off. Maybe they just failed. I don't know for certain.
Here, Shallan caught tension in Tin's face. A tightening of the skin around the eyes, a distance to her gaze. She was worried about what her employers might do to her. Then it was gone, smoothed away.
Have a look.
Tin nodded up ahead. Shallan followed the gesture and noticed moving figures a few hills over. The landscape had slowly changed as they approached the plains. The hills grew steeper, but the air a little warmer, and plant life was more prevalent. Stands of trees clustered in some of the valleys where waters would flow after high storms. The trees were squat, different from the flowing majesty of the one she'd known in Yaqabed, but it was still nice to see something other than scrub. The grass here was fuller. It pulled smartly away from the wagons, sinking into its burrows. The rock buds here grew large, and shale bark cropped up in patches, often with lifespren bouncing around like tiny green motes. During their day's traveling, they'd passed other caravans, more plentiful now that they were closer to the shattered plains. So Shallan wasn't surprised to see someone up ahead. The figures, however, rode horses.
Who can afford animals like that? And why don't they have an escort?
There seemed to be only four of them. The caravan rolled to a stop at a signal from Macon in the first wagon. Shallan had learned through awful experience just how dangerous any encounter out here could be. None were taken lightly by caravan masters. She was the authority here, but she allowed those with more experience to call stops and choose their path.
Come on!
Tin hopped down from the wagon and grabbed her coat and sword off their pegs. Shallan scrambled down, putting on her Yasna face. She let herself be herself with Tin. With the others, she needed to be a leader. Stiff, stern, but hopefully inspiring. To that end, she was pleased with the blue dress that Makeb had given her. Embroidered with silver, made of the finest silk, it was a wonderful upgrade from her tattered one. They walked past where Vatha and his men had been marching just behind the lead wagon. The leader of the deserters shot Tin a glare. His dislike of the woman was only more reason to respect her, despite her criminal proclivities.
Brightness Devar and I will handle this.
Brightness? What if they are bandits?
There are only four of them, Master Makeb. The day I can't handle four bandits on my own is a day I deserve to be robbed.
They passed the wagon, Tin tying on her belt.
What if they are bandits?
I thought you said you could handle four.
I was just going along with your attitude.
That's dangerous, kid. Look, bandits wouldn't let us see them, and they certainly wouldn't just sit there.
The group of four men waited on the top of the hill. As Shallan drew closer, she could see that they were wearing crisp blue uniforms that looked quite genuine.
We'll wait here. They can come to us.
Sounds good to me.
Indeed, up above, the men started moving down the hillside when they noticed Shallan and Tin were waiting for them. Two more came and followed after them on foot, men not in uniforms, but workers' clothing.
Grooms?
Who are you going to be?
Myself?
What's the fun in that? How's your horn eater?
Horn eater?
Too late.
The men rode up. The lead rider reined in his horse with some obvious annoyance. He didn't seem in complete control of the beast.
Brightness?
Shockingly, he was dark-eyed. A tall man with black Alethi hair he wore down to his shoulders. He looked over Tin, noting the sword and the soldier's uniform, but let slip no reaction.
A hard man, this one.
Her Highness, Princess Unalukuak Kina Autu Atai. You are in the presence of royalty, Dark Eyes.
A horn eater? Wearing a Vorin dress? Rock would have a fit.
Tin looked to Shallan and raised an eyebrow.
I'm going to strangle you, woman.
This thing. He is not what you have a princess wear. He is good for me. You will be respect.
Fortunately, her red face would fit for a horn eater. They were a passionate people. Tin nodded to her, looking appreciative.
I'm sorry.
Seven wagons, Cal. Well guarded.
The man, Cal, nodded.
I've been sent out to look for signs of bandits. Has all been well with your caravan?
We ran into some bandits 3 weeks ago. Why do you care?
We represent the king, and are from the personal guard of Dalinar Kalin.
Oh, storms. All this is going to be inconvenient.
Bright Lord Kalin is investigating the possibility of a wider range of control around the Shattered Plains. If you really were attacked, I would like to know the details.
If we were attacked, you doubt our word?
No.
I am offended. You'd better watch yourself. Her Highness does not like to be offended.
How surprising. Where did the attack take place? You fought it off? How many bandits were there?
Tin filled him in on the details, which gave Shallan a chance to think. Dalinar Kolin was her future father-in-law, if the causal matured into marriage. Hopefully, she wouldn't run into these particular soldiers again.
I really am going to strangle you, Tin.
Their leader listened to the details of the attack with a stoic air.
Not a very pleasant man.
I'm sorry to hear of your losses, but you're only a day and a half by caravan from the Shattered Plains now. You should be safe the rest of the way.
I am curiosity. These animals, they are horses, yet you are dark-eyed. This Kulin trusts you well.
I do my duty. Where are the rest of your people? That caravan looks as if it's all Vorin. Also, you look a little spindly for a horn-eater.
Did you just insult the princess's wit?
Storm, she's good.
Tin actually managed to produce anger spren with her remark.
Well, nothing to do but soldier on.
I am offend!
You have offended Her Highness again!
Very offend!
You'd better apologize.
No apologize! Boots!
Boots?
Yes, I am liking your boots! You will apology with boots!
You want my boots?
Did you not hear, Her Highness? Are soldiers of this Dalinar Kolin's army so disrespectful?
I'm not disrespectful. And I'm not giving her my boots.
You insult! I will tell all who are to listen. When arriving, I will say Kolin is stealer of boots and taker of women's virtue.
Virtue?
Yes.
Shallan glanced over to Tin.
Virtue? No, wrong word. Virtue? No. Vesture! Taker of women's vesture! That is what I wanted.
The soldier glanced to his companions, looking confused.
Drat. Good puns are lost on men with poor vocabulary.
Is no matter. All will know what you have done in wronging me. You have laid me bare here in this wilderness. Stripping me is an insult to my house and my clan. All will know that Kolin...
No, stop. Stop.
Kaladin reached down awkwardly, pulling his boot from his foot while on horseback. His sock had a hole in the heel.
Storming woman.
He tossed the first boot down to her, then removed the other.
Your apology is accepted.
By damnation, it had better be. I'll pass along your story. Maybe we can get this storming place patrolled. Come on, men.
He turned and left them without another word, perhaps fearing another horn-eater diatribe. Once they were out of earshot, Shallan looked at the boots. Joy Spren rose around her like blue leaves that started at her feet, then moved up in a swirl before flaring out above her as if in a blast of wind. Shallan watched them with a big smile. Those were very rare.
No use denying. That was fun.
I'm still going to strangle you. He knew we were playing with him. My accent has to be the worst horn-eater impression a woman has ever done.
It was actually pretty good. You overdid the words, but the accent itself was spot on. That wasn't the point, though.
What was the point? Making a fool out of me?
Partially.
That was sarcasm.
If you're going to learn to do this, you have to be comfortable in situations like that. You can't be embarrassed when you pose as somebody else. The more outrageous the attempt, the straighter you have to play it. The only way to get better is to practice, and in front of people who very well might catch you.
I suppose.
Those boots are too big for you. Though, I did love the look on his face when you asked for them.
Boots!
I really need some boots. I'm tired of walking around on rock barefoot or in slippers. A little padding, and these will fit.
She held them up. They were rather large.
Maybe. I hope he'll be all right without them. What if he has to fight bandits on his way back?
We're going to have to talk about that kind-heartedness of yours sometime, kid.
It's not a bad thing to be nice.
You're training to be a con artist. For now, let's go back to the caravan. I want to talk you through the finer points of a horn-eater accent. With that red hair of yours, you'll probably find more chances to use it than you would others.